My name is George Brown. I was born and raised in American Fork. I graduated from American Fork High School. I went on a mission to Southeast Asia. I was in Taiwan, Hong Kong, and Thailand. I worked with three Asian languages. It was a big challenge, but it worked out. Mandarin, Cantonese, and Thai. This all happened because of problems, expansion of the mission, and also problems with Chairman Mao's counter-revolutionary revolution. I went to BYU Law School. I went to BYU for my first degree, and then I went to BYU Law School. I've been an attorney for about 49 years, 50 years. And I was also in the military, served in the Utah National Guard, the Army Reserve. I had a lot of interesting experiences. Some of you might be familiar with Company C of the 142nd MI Battalion. It's a signals intelligence unit. I was assigned to reorganize that unit into a SIGINT unit and get it up and going. And then later on I was the battalion commander of a 500 soldier battalion. In any event, I am here because I am concerned about all of the terrorist attacks that are taking place in the United States, and now we're seeing them in Utah. And I want to prepare American Fork City not to just respond to a terrorist attack, but to prevent a terrorist attack. I think that's very important because it's better to prevent than it is to respond. Also, I'm concerned about the water system. I want a good water system, good pressure, good service. My time is running out. I want the roads going well. I want the public safety people, which are the police and the fire, to be properly supported. Thank you.
My name is Brad Frost. You know, I never would have believed in my life that I would be up on a stage like this, doing this. As a kid growing up, I never had aspirations to be a politician. And sometimes, you know, is the mayor really a political position? It is. But not like what we might think of when we think of other arenas like national level. But I think that I'm here because it was instilled in me as a child by my parents to give back. My dad would make sure that we were putting up chairs, sweeping floors, whatever it took, we were in it. And he taught me that by coaching, and then guess what, I became a coach. And I just felt like I wanted to be invested wherever I was. And then there came a point in time where I had, kids were pretty well grown up, and I had this window, and I thought, you know, I'm gonna look into and consider running for city council. That was what brought me where I am today. And a lot of people ask me that. They think you're crazy or they're curious, one of the two. And so maybe you can decide what you think it is. But I wanna tell you something. Being in city council, being involved with city, I have fun. I enjoy it. There's good and bad moments, but the good far outweighs the bad. And so I do it because I love it, and I love people, and I love solving problems. I love being part of a team. I love being in that team and being the mayor. You don't even have to think that you're out front and leading. You can just sit back and be a part of that team, and you know when to get in and make a presence. You know when to be quiet. Those are skills that I've learned. I would have learned them no other way except being in politics. So I have grown. I probably have grown as much as anybody. So thank you.
Okay, so Mayor Frost, we're gonna start with you on this question. It is, why are you running for election or re-election? You have 1 minute.
Well, I kind of went into it on my opening statement, but there's some things that I'm pretty passionate about that I want to see to fruition. George mentioned water. Water is life in a city. It's the very reason that we're here, is that the pioneers found a place where they can get water, and nothing about that has changed. And American Fork is uniquely situated next to one of the largest sewer treatment plants in Utah County, and I think there's a really good chance if we work together to get recycled water. The plant is putting $1 billion into upgrades right now, required by the state of Utah. It brings up the water standards, what they call a tertiary level of water. We can take that water and we can bring it back into our PI system, This has nothing to do with the water in your home. It's about what you put on your landscaping. And we can inject that and set our city up in perpetuity for outdoor water use.
I'm running for mayor, as I said earlier, because I want to protect American Fork City against terrorist attacks. And we've seen one in Orem. Charlie Kirk was assassinated. It's very close to us. And recently there was a church in Michigan that was attacked. And I know the police have a SWAT team and they can respond very well to things, but I want to prevent terrorist attacks as opposed to just responding. And the fire department needs to be protected because we saw what happened in Coeur d'Alene with they were ambushed and two were killed and one was seriously wounded. And then water. I've always been interested in water. And also the roads. And I want the police and the fire departments to be properly supported so they can do their jobs in this tenuous time. Thank you.
We're going to give Mayor Frost 30 seconds.
And I just wanted to, I think there's a little bit different of it, and it's verbiage, but words count. When I hear the word terrorist attack, my mind, I don't classify what happened in Orem or in Michigan, a terrorist attack. Target attacks, but not organized cells of terror. American Fork City is well prepared, not only to react, but the intelligence gathering that they're a part of is pretty incredible. It reaches the highest levels of government all through the state of Utah, the National Guard, Homeland Security. They get daily briefs. And so that's a terrorist attack. Random acts of violence are not terrorist attacks.
Thank you. George, would you like a 30-second response?
I want people to be prepared. I want you to be safe. I don't want to have responses necessarily. It's important to be able to respond, but I want terrorist attacks prevented. When I was in the military, it was a classified event, but I was involved in seeing a terrorist attack stopped. And it was very enlightening to me. Thank you.
Okay, next question. We're going to start with George. What is something you wish more AF citizens knew about their city government? You've got 1 minute.
Well, I think our city government could be just a little bit more simple in some things. We get a little bit complex, and I don't think there's any criticism of individuals. I just think that sometimes it's best to have simple processes. And so, that's one thing I would do. I would sort of simplify things a little bit. And other than that, I don't have anything to criticize the American Fork City and its leadership, but I would just make things a little bit more simple. Thank you.
I think that there's sometimes that people feel like there's decisions that are made in haste, quick, no thought process. And I've never been a part of this council in a decision that was ever done without really methodical thought through processes, looking at the consequences, where it's at, how are people gonna feel it. And it's been criticized sometimes that government is slow. And I think it's slow for a purpose. And that's so that we get it right. Many of the decisions that we make will affect everyday life and even generations. For some of the bigger ones. And so being slow, understanding and learning, bringing the community up with it, and having them understand, getting their feedback. I think that there's things that we see, we don't understand. There was 3 years to make that decision, and then they see it at the time and think, bad decision. So that's what I'd help them do.
Thank you. I think it's Brad's turn to go first this time. Any thoughts on modernizing Main Street? You have 1 minute.
Yes, good thoughts. City Council, we passed an entire spot zone for the downtown. It's called the CC1 zone. In that, it was very specific in what someone could do. It was meant to be an accelerator to people that would look at that. And say, we can fit that in that zone. It was careful about parking. It was having requirements that were reasonable. And in that, it made sure that it matched architectural elements of about four buildings: City Hall, Harrington Center, the Alta Bank corner building, because no matter what comes in there, we didn't want them to just go cheap and put up facades that were very temporary, didn't have hard character. That is the heartbeat as people drive through. We wanted to make sure that they did that. And that took a little while to do, but it's in place.
I remember when the beautification committee planted trees at American Fork on Main Street. There are very few of those trees left if you look around. I think there's a lot of things that can be done to make the area more pleasant and interesting to be. And I think that'll draw in business, and it will help everything overall with people having a shorter distance to go to get the things they want. And so I'm in favor of doing everything we can to entice people to Main Street and to have it beautified and an interesting place to be.
The question is, what are your priorities for the city budget?
My priorities for the city budget are, first of all, the public safety personnel and departments. Secondly, the water system. There's two things that are really critical to the longevity of life in a community, and the first is clean water, and the second is effective sewer systems. When those things were put in, that's when people's lives really started to increase. And of course, I'm very big on getting the roads fixed up. When we put in the pressurized irrigation system, it cut all the roads up. I was in the engineers for a while, and they taught me how to build roads, and the crown of a road is critical to any road. So we need to work on our roads. And I think we need to also, again, support the police and the fire because of their important public safety roles that they play. Thank you.
I don't think there's a decision made in the budget. That's a process that we take about 6 months on. So you understand the budget is, we call it zero-based budgeting. And that is, you don't just assume what happened last year is going to be the same. It's literally breaking it right down and starting from scratch, zero. And then you build it back up department by department. We have work sessions along the way to understand what the department needs are. We started off with a meeting that we spent an entire day, and we learn from each other. We learn from the people that actually run the departments. Who's do you know better than them? But then it's the elected officials. We're trusted with that. We're the ones that people hold responsible. And we understand that role that we play with our staff. But I can tell you there's not a decision made with an end goal that if we can just free up some money, where does it go? To roads. Pennies can go to roads. And so that's a high priority with myself, and I know this council, is that we just need as much as we can to go to roads.
What do you wish we would have done 10 years ago?
Paved every road in the city. I would say 10 years ago, you know, I would say that infrastructure, I know when you're in public office, infrastructure becomes a word you get very familiar with. It's not the stuff that's really fun and pretty, but it's everything that we need and the basic things that we have to have. And only government can provide them. Nobody's going to bring you water but your city. The roads dedicated to the city. It's our job to maintain those roads. And so 10 years ago, that would have put us near the era of pressurized irrigation, but really it would be at that moment with interest and materials, the amount of roads we could have finished would have been 10 times than we're doing in pain as you go. There was a bond. I think that would have been very, very successful, and we would see huge dividends right now. We really paid a lot of extra money.
About 25 years ago, the decision was made to put in the pressurized irrigation system. I didn't want that. I wanted a water treatment plant at the mouth of American Fork Canyon, because the Central Utah Project wanted to partner with American Fork to do that. People said, well, you're spending too much money on water that's going to water lawns. Well, how much more do you think is being spent on roads because the pipes for the pressurized irrigation were put in by cutting up the roads, like $100 million. So I think a lot of times we have to look hard at what we're doing and really figure out the costs and the things and make things work so that it's less expensive to everybody and the overall is a long-term benefit to everybody. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to just maybe add a little narrative to that, and just thank you, George, because when that happened, George and I, we weren't sitting in the chairs to make any, we could make public comment, right, George, at the time. But the idea of that happening as far as having the same system is, it really would have not had any really forward thinking in it. Because that system right now, you have a 12-inch water line that goes to your home as far as just the water. And then you might have a 24-inch PI line. It would have taken the entire city to be re-engineered, resized to fit both those needs to have a build-out situation. I can see their foresight in why they did it.
I still disagree. I think the cost to repair roads is much greater than the cost would have been to have had one system and treated the water that you use both in your home and in your on your lawn. Here's the other side of the thing. What happens if something happens to our potable or drinking water? What are we going to do? Start bringing the irrigation water in and boiling it on our stoves? So I still lean that way. Thank you.
What is your plan for handling growth in the city?
Plan for it. That's my plan. And that is not just my plan, it's the city council's plan, staff's plan, and we would hope that every resident's plan. It's coming. It is here. It seems like the economic conditions, like it's hit the gas, hit the brakes. Hit the brake, we're going half speed here. But so we have to be out in front of it. So the planning for it takes place in what they call the master plan. Master plan is a high-level living document that understands that there might be something here. It can even be an open field. But when they come, and if they come to develop, this is what it's intended to be. It's zoned. If we don't do that, it causes chaos, no order at all. Some might believe that, hey, I'm going to put my property and do what I want. Well, you can't put a McDonald's in the middle of a residential home. So if you don't plan properly with good guiding principles, and good teams, and when I say the team, I think it's the council's the staff, but one of the very best tools we have is our planning commission. They are fully engaged as well, and most of what's going to happen at a council level is going to be vetted through the planning commission. And so very team effort that we plan properly and that we do it according to a master plan so that we have order where roads go and that we don't hit surprises.
I think the city does a good job in planning. I think that we're in good shape that way. But when you stop and look at it, there's not a lot of land left to be developed. There are some here and there. But then the question becomes, do you want to be a little more rural? Now, how we become more rural, I don't know. When I was a kid, I was telling someone tonight that I used to ride my horse up Center Street, cross up the traffic light of Main Street, and then go up to Highland or Alpine or over to Pleasant Grove or something, but that can't be done today because we're not rural enough to do that anymore. But I do think the city has done a good job in planning. I think the important thing now is to look at these final pieces of land that are available and properly utilize them. We have to recognize the rights of the property owner to do them with their properties they see fit as long as it meets with the zoning and other requirements of the city. Thank you.
This is a similar question goes along with it. What are your ideas or plans for more affordable housing, such as manufactured homes, tiny homes, 3D printed homes, cluster zones? We're going to start with George.
That's a hard one with affordable housing, because to get affordable housing, usually you have to have higher levels, first, second, third levels of housing, apartment complexes, things like that. So I think it's just a matter of, as we've said earlier, it's a matter of planning and following the plans that are made and listen carefully to the people who own land and listen carefully to the people like the planning commissioner or whomever is involved with things as to what their recommendations are and try to balance it out so that in the long run we keep our city as rural as possible, but still let people develop their land in a reasonable manner that fits in with the system. Thank you.
You know, I don't have all the answers. I don't know if anybody does, because we've been trying to find that one answer to solve the affordable housing crisis, or even how can we make a dent. So what do you do? You put product on the market. The governor has an initiative to make 35,000 starter homes. We're part of that. What we're seeing is smaller lots, smaller houses, but that's what they used to have, you know, back in the day. So we have bigger houses, but affordable housing, I think if we can see that something's going to translate into that homeowner, it won't be gobbled up somewhere in the market in the margin of a builder. So we're locking arm with the builders. The American Fork does have one interesting component, I think, that I don't think anybody else has. It is located around the Front Runner Station, the TOD, but anybody can come in there if you qualify and receive a $15,000 down payment assistance and or $15,000 grant assistance. And that's complicated for the full answer, but that is for affordable housing.
Thank you. Next question for, let's start with the mayor. And it goes along with the same theme. It says, what are your plans for transportation infrastructure to support less cars? For example, buses, trains, trolleys, bicycles.
You know, trails have become something very popular. And it's beyond just the, I want to exercise, but it gets you from point A to B. Master transportation plans. I sit as a vice chair of MAG, which is a transportation board in the county, and they now have their own pot of money for trails. So recognizing there's multimodal transit options, so biking, pedestrian. We are blessed with a front runner. I sometimes don't always think. That stops, by the way. I'm lucky that I still have a minute. So I'll take it. We have a front runner station. That front runner station is very, very nice. But the planning to think around that and how the state mandates the density around that, as if to take rights away from cities, so we go with it and we make the best of what we can out of it. And I feel very, very proud of what's down there. Now there's some infrastructure that needs to go in. I'm guessing that's going to be a question. But as far as transit, you're going to see more circular bus routes. That's what we feel like. If you can't have a point A to B to get you to Front Runner, it makes no sense. American Fork City we have some money allocated from MAG. We're looking at a circular route that'll go around the business district of American Fork, hospital, come up around by the Domo building, and just continually do a loop all day long with a small van to get them to the Front Runner station so that people know and can count on a ride home. And we feel like that's important.
I have a good plan to solve this. We'll just have a lot more horses. When people ride horses in downtown, we'd like to see that horse tied up in some grocery store or something. I'm kidding, but I think that we're just going to have a traffic problem because there's a lot of traffic coming through. Buses can help. The trains can help. All these things can help, but that's just going to be a problem we're going to have to deal with because there's just more vehicles. There's more people. And there's these efforts to have these 15-minute communities where you don't have to walk any farther than 15 minutes to get anywhere. And they want you to walk I have a problem with bicycles. They pull out in front of you. I don't think they always look to see where they're going. So when I get around bicycles, I get very nervous and keep a close eye on them. But in any event, I do think buses, I think the trains, I think we might have to walk more, but it's just going to be a problem. I don't know if there's any particular solution to it. Maybe we just have to plan our trips better and use our transportation less.
It says 300 North is a very important road in American Fork and is designated as a safe route for school children to walk to school. How will you address making 300 North safer for our kids to walk to school?
That's a real challenge on 300 North. I have noticed that it is becoming more and more crowded. And so I personally, I try to avoid 300 North unless I'm going out to the west side of town. But we're just facing more traffic. And I don't know if there's any big solutions to any of these things. What's really important, I think, is to be aware of pedestrians and give them their opportunity to cross the road, to be very aware of traffic lights, stop signs, and those. And by the way, how many people do you know that stop at stop signs? Well, I do, by the way, but I'm totally aware of other people. Most people look, no, it's okay, let's go. They just run through stop signs. I think it's a combination of we are careful ourselves and what we do, and we do our best to have some public transportation things.
So this would be centered around Forbes, the high school, Barrett, I mean, that's the Third North Corridor. I've always found the schools, it's an interesting challenge to think that for twice a day, for about 10, 20 minutes as far as the traffic goes, that you have this balloon. And then it goes down to what it's intended to be, and then it comes back for about 15 minutes. Planning around that isn't hard, but I think there's a common sense planning as far as widths and lanes and all that. But there is one new component that will be added along Third North. That's going to be at 600 East. That's the high school road, Cayman Boulevard. Is that we have a design and we have the funding and a construction of a light will go there with a crossing walk and signals and everything. So in the past it's been, can't interrupt that traffic on Third North. That's the corridor to the hospital. But guess what? An ambulance now, push a button and turn that light green real fast and go through it. So there is a light coming there that will have a pattern of disruption that should cause gaps.
What do you see as American Fork's biggest strengths, and how would you build on them?
You know, people, heritage, everything that American Fork embodies, that's our biggest strength. I think building upon them is helping people to feel it, to feel a part of American Fork, and to kind of feel that passion and that pride of being, this is my hometown, or I lived here for a while, but having that really fond memory of being in American Fork. So what do we do about it? We have events, we have Steel Days, we have Night Out Against Crime, we have Halloween on Main, in order to instill a sense of community. And people might not want that, they might not participate in it, but it's there. And so quality of life to me is what instills that sense of community. Go to the dog park, I think, boy, people are loving the dog park. Mary and Art Night Park, feeling that sense, that is very important.
For the dog park, I like the horse park better than the dog park. American Fork has a great history. One of my relatives, William Greenwood, was one of the first teachers of American Fork, named Greenwood School for him. And so I just think that what makes American Fork great is its history. And also, I think there's a lot of professional people and kind people that are in American Fork. So I think that's some of the big things, is just to encourage those kinds of attributes and just keep things moving forward like that.
If you get elected or re-elected, what steps will you take to ensure transparency and accountability in city decision making?
Well, the Utah State statutes pretty well set forth all of the requirements to make things visible and available to citizens. I think that's very important to allow citizens into everything that goes on, because what makes American Fork work? Citizens' taxes. So if you're gonna pay for it, you should have a say in it and you should be involved in it. So I think that's really critical, is to have everything open, work sessions. There are provisions to go into private sessions if there are certain sensitive issues to be discussed. But otherwise, I think it's very important to have public sessions and also give people the opportunity to say what they think is important for American Fork.
You know, it's everything. Transparency is such an important aspect of government. And even if people don't use it, and really, what are they doing? Maybe they're a little bit indifferent, or they just don't have the time. But the fact of the matter is we should always strive to be transparent. And maybe that's the ability for somebody to walk back a decision and say, well, that was made. And if they can't walk it back into some kind of a document or a meeting, then that's not being real transparent. But we've gone one step ahead of that in American Fork, and that is we live stream our council meetings. Council meetings are really where decisions are made. Those are the action items. And there are some things leading up to that, but whenever you can't even get three council members in the room at the same time without breaking the law. There's a reason for that. So we're together, it needs to be open, and people need to be able to see what we're doing, be a participant in that, giving them avenues. And believe me, I get enough emails that people are pretty engaged, but we would love to see the chambers full. It would be such a nice thing.
If you are elected or re-elected, what strategies would you support to attract and retain businesses in American Fork?
You know, I think that's kind of a case-by-case thing. We have an economic development team, and we're kind of reviewing that. So I'm going to tell you what we're looking at, because to me, it's going to become more of a policy. But we are going on the offense. The strategy is not just wait for them to come to us. They know we're here. I mean, everybody says, I'm going to say this, Trader Joe's. That's an example only, as they're not coming, but everybody says, get them here. Well, guess what? We're going to get with them. We're going to get a stake. We're saying, control your destiny. Now, here's the funny thing. What property do we own? Not the property that they need. So we're improving relationships with property owners so that they have a teamed up approach with the city to go out and attract them and to bring them here. The metrics and all the data these companies are looking for, they know that. We're just looking like we're a big team effort.
That's a tough question because businesses go where they think they can make a profit. So the thing you have to do with the city is to have good concepts so the businesses can come in, they can get approval for what they want to do, assuming that it's an appropriate activity, and that they can continue on with the citizens of American Fork and please the citizens, and it becomes a relationship between the citizens and the particular business. I think the critical thing is that you have your standards that are clear for outside businesses to come in and look. You have your personnel in place to make sound and quick decisions for them to do their business and set up their companies or whatever their business, their buildings or whatever they're going to do. And I think that's what's necessary so that it's easy to understand what you're doing as a city.
What do you see as the biggest quality of life challenges facing American Fork families today?
Well, I think that's another hard decision. I think American Fork offers, I've lived here, well, my wife and I have been here the last 42 years. I lived here as a kid. But I think the biggest thing is that you have to offer to the people something they want, and then they will come to get it. But then on the other hand, then you have to worry about, well, where's the housing? Where's this? Where's that? So I think that what has to happen is you do your best to serve the needs of those that own property. You do your best to serve the needs of those that have businesses. You do your best within the standards of fairness and constitutional concepts. But you do your best, and then you have to let the rest of it be decided by the people and the businesses that are here.
This has me thinking a little, because I think of quality of life, and I think libraries, parks, rec centers, and they are. Every one of those are a quality of life. Are they something that we have to have? On the surface, no, it's not forced. But our city, we know because we voted on it twice, the park tax is something that has given us an indicator that it's important to have a quality of life. And so those factors that enhance life, the very theater when people do, they perform here using the park tax money. But I'm thinking too that if we're not careful, that what could impact that quality of life is really the everyday life. The everyday life of being in traffic, gridlock, and I'm saying at an unacceptable level. I think there are things to accept. You're gonna have a few pinch points, but if you can't, if it's just complete gridlock all the time, everywhere, that affects not only, it affects all life. And so keeping in mind that the nuts and bolts does affect your quality of life.
This question says, how would you prioritize parks, recreation, cultural opportunities, and open space in future city planning?
Well, we're back to quality of life. It's major. It's a very, very big component. The city purchased 30 acres. I'll call it, we'll consider it an anchor park down towards the south end. If we don't get the land, somebody else will. We've bought other parcels that are 5-6 acres. And so we're out and ahead of that. We're futuristic in the fact that you gotta get the land. And so we're working, there's no roads to it yet, there's nothing, but it's gonna be a park, and it's gonna be a good park. And it's gonna be a fire station right there as well. So we're looking at holistically at all our residents. But those are very major components of life. And we know that because of the participation at those places. The library, we thought COVID was gonna really bury the library. The library is a jewel, and so is the rec center. And that's another question on its own, but I think that we should be supportive of them and do everything we can to add to them.
I'm glad the mayor brought up the library. When I was on city council with Mayor Green, he told me he wanted me to get a new library for the city. And I worked with the library committee and I worked with the city council and we got the vote on it. Now we have a library. I think the library has proven to be a real benefit to the community. I also think the parks are very important to the community. I think that people really enjoy the parks. I know I spend a lot of time watching grandchildren play games at the parks, depending on which game and what's going on. And I think the city has done a really good job of learning how to turn a park into a baseball park and then take the fence down and back into a park again. So they've done a good job in handling all these things. But I think that I'm glad that they're acquiring the land down south, because I think we need to have as many parks as we can. But I think we're doing very well with parks, and I think people enjoy them. And what we need to do is keep the community safe so that they can walk to the parks and enjoy them.
Okay, thank you, candidates. That's all the questions we have, so we're going to go ahead and move forward with our 90-second closing statements, and we will start with George. After that, we'll be done with the debate.
I decided to run for mayor because I was concerned about public safety. Not that I see a big problem with public safety, but I was concerned because I think we need to learn how to stop, prevent, not just respond to, but prevent terrorist attacks. And that is the primary reason why I have been running for mayor. As I mentioned before, in the military, I was in military intelligence, and I watched a potential terror event. There was a terrorist element, there was a location, intelligence was collected, and then one little decision was made, one little activity, and it stopped everything. I think that's so critical, and we have to support our police and our fire. The fire people are so in such danger because they have to respond so quickly to stop things, and that makes them very vulnerable. So these things in my mind right now, and with all the things that are happening in our country right now, I think there are a lot of people that intend to cause us a lot of problems. That is my single biggest priority. Thank you.
you know, something I've learned, if you really think about it and in this perspective, and that is the city is an interesting organization. You look at it holistically, and even compared to a corporate world, we're expected to be experts in water, sewer, storm drain. When 911 calls, we expect as city leaders, and we know you expect that you're going to have the best people, the best equipment. And it's just, that's just a few tangents. Thank you, George, for the library. I mean, what would we do without the library? But again, another level of expertise in a different place. And so as a city mayor, council, we get the opportunity to kind of work with it all and work with people and residents that will engage. And I want to just say I appreciate that, the people that do that. And it's my pleasure to work with them. And I have written some notes down, and they're not for anything but for myself, because I thought I should have said that. So I just want to say, before I have 23 seconds, if I've missed something tonight in your mind that I didn't have the depth or the detail, because 1 minute is kind of hard to talk about a very complex question that might, we could talk for a little longer, I want you to come up to me and let's talk about it. Or I'm going to refer you to my website, votebradfrost.com, and drop me an email and I will connect. But I am running for mayor and I'm going to ask for your vote, because I want to keep things moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can we give a round of applause for the candidates?